Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Denver and Chicago, and earned a bachelor's in music engineering from the University of Miami. He and his wife, Mandy, have three biological children and three adopted children with special needs from the U.S. and twins from Uganda. In 2014, they founded Chosen and Dearly Loved, an organization whose mission is to find permanent homes for orphans with special needs. Their newest undertaking is 1 Million Homes, to bring 1 million orphans back home. His name, Mike Gallagher. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Mike Gallagher. He and his wife, Mandy, have three biological children, and then they adopted three children with special needs, Hannah from the U.S. and twins from Uganda. Mike, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Honor to be here, Jack. Thank you.
Can you start by talking about, or can you start by leading us in an opening prayer tonight?
Would be so honored to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives and your faithfulness in our lives, in times good and bad, in the high highs and the low lows. Thank you that you are with us and for us, and that you are faithful. Thank you for the chance to share about our lives and about your faithfulness with Jack and his listeners. We pray it would give you glory and be a blessing and service to those who hear. We ask for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Yeah. Well, my childhood began there in the Great Lakes region in Toledo, Ohio. Both sides of my family had been there for generations. And we loved life, loved one another, loved God. It was a work hard, play hard kind of a culture and upbringing, and had just wonderful years there. My dad was a really gifted leader. And although he was very self-made, he didn't come from any real opportunities. He created his opportunities himself. Eventually, he was recruited. And he had the opportunity to actually lead a public company that was based in Colorado. So by the time I was in second grade, we moved to Colorado. And so began a journey of my dad getting more and more opportunities as a leader that people really wanted to invest in. Ultimately, my dad had the chance to become an owner. All these years, he created so much value for the businesses he was working for, but he never had a chance to benefit as an owner himself. And by the time I was going into high school, he finally had that opportunity. So he was backed by some private equity investors. He took over ownership of a company that was based in Chicago. So that moved our family back to the Midwest. And so began his journey of building up companies over long, long periods of time in partnership with their management.
You're the chairman and founder of Educational Outfitters Group, LLC. What do they do?
Yeah, Educational Outfitters, that journey began for me and really wanting to engage my dad as a dad. I got to enter into the family business where we were working with various manufacturing companies and had all kinds of operating roles, trying to build up these companies, maybe from a regional leader to a national leader over 10, 20 years. And eventually, I really had this dream to do a small version of that and work with my dad, not as a chairman, but as a dad. And ultimately, that led me to be a business owner myself, a small business based in Tennessee called Educational Outfitters. And what they were doing was allowing other owner operators in cities all across America to provide school uniforms to faith-based and charter schools in their communities. So Educational Outfitters is a franchisor of school uniform retail operations.
Your dad has a huge footprint in your life, your mom as well. What did you learn from your mom, Mike?
I think my mom really showed loyalty and strength. She obviously, we had to get through a lot as a family, going through so many transitions. And so my mom showed tremendous loyalty to my father and to us as her children, and always exhibited a very quiet strength that that was critical for our family to do all that we did, and for my dad to do all that he did.
God has really blessed you in many ways. One of the biggest was you meet this lady named Mandy. Tell us about Mandy.
Yeah, Mandy, I first met her when she was 15. I was 17 at the time. We were in high school together and ended up becoming friends, ended up becoming high school sweethearts, and the rest is history. I think when you talk about God's faithfulness, I have to say he's also very merciful, because in those years, we didn't really know God or care too much about him. And so, although we met and dated, got married, had a great life together, full of opportunity, it was all without God. And I'm grateful that, yes, he brought my wife to me, but then I'm most grateful that he brought us to a really strong faith once we had our first child.
All right. Life is great. You have three children. You're doing very well. And then you and Mandy decide we should adopt. In 2009, you adopt Hannah. Tell us about Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah was actually born to Chinese immigrants. She was born outside of Nashville, where we had moved to help run this new business we were operating. Hannah was born to a married couple, but when she was born with special needs, they actually were forced to surrender her. They were very poor immigrants and came from China, where the culture and expectations around children with special needs are that they are perhaps not to be kept. And so this is a wonderful couple. We actually got to meet them and receive their blessing and support for adopting their daughter. But the whole thing began as a real tragedy. She was left in the hospital. She was in the NICU. She had spina bifida, which they were unaware of. And so as they tried to deliver her, her spine actually ruptured. She had hydrocephalus because of the spina bifida. Therefore, her head was, you know, totally expanded out in the back, and her feet and her legs were completely mangled. And so the hope for this child was so scarce. And the overwhelming nature of the situation on this poor immigrant family was just too much to bear. And so that was Hannah's beginning on life. The way she came into our life was a 2-hour story. We don't have time to go into it all on this program, but it was a real miracle. We were living in Tennessee, not really knowing anyone, but the one couple that we had shared our heart's intent to adopt a child had heard about this child. And it began from a place of prayer for me and Mandy and our three children at the time. And within a matter of days, we heard about Hannah. It was like we got a text from this family who had heard about this child left at this hospital. And for us, it became like a baby on our doorstep. So we were already fully prepared, fully committed. We're praying about a special needs adoption. But then when the one was actually brought into our lives, it really did feel like a baby on our doorstep. And that's when we really had to pray, really had to dig in. And it was just a dramatic experience coming to know without a doubt that she was to be our daughter.
We're talking to Mike Gallagher, and I'm Jack Rasulo. When we come back, we're going to ask him about adopting twins thereafter in Uganda. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Mike Gallagher. And Mike and Mandy, after Hannah and their three own biological children, they adopt Eli and Ellie from Uganda. Talk about Eli and Ellie twins.
Yes, as we adopted Hannah, it really changed our whole lives. And we ultimately stepped out of the business we were running to dedicate our lives to helping more children like Hannah to get home to loving families. And as we did so, it was more relational than strategic. We believed that we were really to just follow where we had strong relationships and learn and grow and decide as we went. So we were in that time, we were getting to know some young co-founders of a special needs orphanage that was happening in Uganda. Ugandan orphanages have no capacity to help children with special needs. So when a child with special needs enters one of these orphanages, they languish. And so we really wanted to help orphanages be in a position to take them in and care for them, and always with the hope that they could end up in a family. So because we were part of that, we heard about two children that some nurses had taken in and were, you know, hoping to potentially place them in this emerging special needs orphanage we were part of. And that's where we first heard about Eli and Ellie. Their birth mother was actually dying. She had only months to live as she gave birth to them. She was very, very sick. And the twins themselves were born and were very, very sick. And one of them also appeared to have some physical disabilities. And so you'd think as we got into that, we'd be totally focused on the children. But of all things, we were really paying attention to this birth mother who wanted her children, who loved her children, but was in such a desperate plight that she was not going to be able to care for her children. And that was one of many things that marked us, not only for the children who need families, but for the birth parents who so often, more often than not, want to keep their child, would keep their child if they could get out of these desperate circumstances. And so, yes, although we went on to adopt Eli and Ellie, they came home not too long after Hannah came home. We went from three kids to six kids in what felt like overnight. But the what really came out of all that was a desire to preserve families or to reunite families. And that became as much a part of our dream as seeing children get adopted.
These three adopted children, what have they done for your three biological children, Emily, Matthew, and John David?
Yeah, we think about that all the time because that's one of the biggest reasons people don't get themselves involved in foster care or adoption. They think, oh, I couldn't do that to my biological children. It'd be too stressful. It'd be too overwhelming. And for us, although certainly there's been times of stress and overwhelming complex challenges, the net effect of doing this as a family has produced far greater love, far greater compassion, far greater understanding, perspective, maturity, empathy, humility in our individual family members and us as a family unit. And above all, it's produced a greater, deeper, and stronger faith because we have depended on God through this journey. Therefore, we have experienced God through this journey. And that has been an incredible, uniting, faith-building experience for us as a family.
You not only adopted three children, you adopted three special needs children. Let's talk about special needs children. Whenever I've had a guest that has had a special needs son or daughter, they always say they come to realize that they're angels, they're heroes, they're teachers, they're gift from God. Mike, why so?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one of those mysteries. And yet it's very real. I mean, we can think of all kinds of scripture where it talks about God choosing the least, God choosing the despised, the weak, to show his strength. And that's been our experience. Our children are remarkable overcomers. And we learn a lot about what it means to overcome and what it means to have joy in the face of tremendous challenges and hardships. So we are blessed to have them. We would want nothing more than for their lives, for themselves, to be free from these limitations and challenges because they are very challenging. But for us as a family, welcoming them into our family, we would never want them without those, because they have brought out the best in all of us.
In preparing for the show, I listened to a lot of videos of you and Mandy, and at times the two of you have referred to the miracle of adoption. How so?
Well, I think when we are honest, or I'll just speak for myself, just about my own nature, there's a pride and an arrogance. There's a focus only on self. It's all based on preferences, and we wouldn't choose to sacrifice. We wouldn't choose to have to surrender certain things that we could otherwise do. So it's absolutely a miracle of what happened in my heart to care about children like these, to care about them enough, to love them enough that I would love them like my own son or daughter. And that is the miracle of miracles.
If there's a couple listening tonight that have been considering adoption, what would you say to them, Mike?
I would say, fear not. there's a lot to fear, but that should not be the driver of your decision. This should be a faith-based decision that brings a husband and wife and a family together. This shouldn't be only one parent's decision or one, even a couple's decision. It needs to be a family decision, but it should not be based on fear. That's number one. Number two, I would say be fully equipped. And these journeys are challenging, and the challenges are complex. And whether it's special needs like we're dealing with, of perhaps medical or physical, there's also most of these children have emotional complex special needs, having lived through trauma. And to fully restore and heal and give them the best, fullest lives possible, you really do need to be fully equipped for the challenges involved. And then finally, be fully supported. Don't do this alone. Draw upon your local church, your extended family, your friends, or other providers that can really make sure that you're set up for success, so that this can be the fullness of the reward and fullness of life that these kind of redemptive journeys can and should be all about.
We're talking to Mike Gallagher, and in 2014, he and his wife Mandy founded Chosen and Dearly Loved. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that miracle chapter in their life. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul. We're with Mike Gallagher. Mike, Mandy and you, 2014, you're raising six kids, all right? Three adopted special needs, and you start Chosen and Dearly Loved. Please.
Well, Chosen and Dearly Loved was the polar opposite of what many of these kids were experiencing. These orphan children living with special needs and without a family. We're unwanted, we're forgotten, right? So the idea of even the name Chosen and Dearly Loved was who these children were meant to be as sons and daughters. And so we knew that we were not going to be able to adopt every one of them, but we could do everything we could to help as many families as we could to adopt as many of those kids as we could. So Chosen and Dearly Loved led out to help preserve families, where a child didn't have to be abandoned by their birth parents, but we could help set them up to preserve their child within their family, or where that was not possible, to see these children get adopted. So through that that charity, we were able to help hundreds of children stay preserved within their own birth families, and hundreds of children get adopted internationally into families in about 40 U.S. states.
If you want to learn more, www.chosenanddearlyloved.org. Talk about the process to adopt a child from a foreign country.
Yeah, you know, even since we first adopted from Uganda and first helped all these families bring children home from 19 other nations, a lot has changed. And it's actually getting more and more restricted, more and more difficult, more and more expensive. And so international adoption remains really the best and only option for a lot of these children, especially any children living with special needs. However, it's becoming more and more prohibitive. So we do need to acknowledge that.
Mike, I've heard it said many times that I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich. You've dealt a lot with third world countries. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like I've learned a lot from everybody. And I feel that our love is to be impartial, our discovery is to be impartial. But I, specific to your question, perhaps the one richness that the poor have is a rich faith and a rich simplicity, so much that the lives of the rich can get lost. And through all the complexities of different life in the developed world. So I think the community, the faith, and out of the overflow of that, the generosity, like true sacrificial generosity, have taught me the most from working with the poor.
Through Chosen and Dearly Loved, you and Mandy have helped place hundreds of children with families in 40 states. You've got hundreds of stories. Can you share with us a couple special stories, please?
Yeah, I think I'll share one about a mother, Greta, who was adopting a boy who was languishing for many, many years in a Ukrainian institution. And he had been completely written off. And yet this family was faithful that they believed he was to be their son. We helped them with a matching grant where they were able to raise money and we matched it that could cover all the expenses to get to Ukraine and bring him home. And when he got home, little by little, this child began to walk, began to absolutely thrive and bless their family as our adopted children had blessed ours. And this was the case of so many of these children who were languishing due to unmet special needs and being devalued by their local, you know, caregivers and cultures, that when given love and when given the support and opportunities for development within the context of a permanent loving family, almost anything is possible, Jack.
Well, our Cubs won the World Series after 108 years, so anything is possible, anything. All right, back to a serious topic. Talk to us about the orphan crisis throughout the world.
Yeah, this has been a multi-year journey for us because we went into it just quoting UNICEF, who was saying, you know, there's 147 million orphans. But as we've actually built relationships in these different countries, we've actually discovered that was not well defined. Because a huge supermajority of children called orphans, treated as orphans, left in orphanages as orphans or on the streets as orphans, had local family. And whether a surviving birth parent that oftentimes wanted them, or almost virtually every time, a large pool of blood relatives that had interest and care for that child. And that's where the crisis for us turned into the opportunity for us. We started believing that all these kids needed to be adopted. We realized that's impossible. Then we thought, well, let's just try to preserve them before they become orphans. But how are we ever going to even make a dent in it to start that process? What we've discovered since 2016 is that actually most of these children, the large, large majority of these children living as orphans throughout the world, have loving local families that they can be restored to. And it's the most redemptive, it's the most cost-effective, it's the most within-reach solution. And that's where our entire focus has turned since that time.
And in 2018, you and Mandy start 1 Million Home, www.1, the number, millionhome.com. Tell us about 1 Million Home.
Yeah, I mean, this all started for us when we saw a orphanage. It was based in Kenya, and they had actually been raising the same kids, you know, about 200 kids for their entire childhoods. And we think that that's doing them good. But when we look at the adult outcomes of what happens to kids who don't get a family, it's really bleak. When they discovered that at least some of their kids had local family that could be found and equipped to take them back and supported long term, they tried it. And one at a time, they found loving local family for every one of those kids. As they did that, they ended up finding capacity to take in more kids off the streets. And guess what? Same held for them. There was family out there, loving local biological family in like 99% of the cases. So as they perfected this model over about a 10-year period, they ended up helping about 3,000 kids. And the long-term success rates were tremendous because they actually were continuing to support and strengthen these families over the long haul. So the idea of 1 Million Home was to partner with these pioneers and figure out how to not just replicate what they were doing with the sites that they were operating, but to equip orphanages all over Kenya, all over Africa, and all over the world to do exactly what they did, repurpose their building and their beds and their staff, and perhaps most importantly, their donor dollars, and put all efforts not to housing these kids long-term and then just letting them age out at age 18, but to doing everything they could to find family for every one of them. And so this idea of transforming orphanages makes 1 Million Home actually very much within reach. We want to see this in a number of years, not a number of decades. Because for us, the whole focus is helping hundreds and then thousands of orphanages systematically transform and repurpose what they're doing on behalf of the best interests of all these children. And as hundreds and then thousands of orphanages make this shift, hundreds of thousands of children are going to get home safely and sustainably.
We're talking to Mike Gallagher. If you want to learn more, www.1millionhome.com. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasool. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Mike Gallagher. Anybody who spends time around this man and his wife come out thinking, these people are modern-day saints. And they've let go and let God. And God has transformed them. And what he's achieving through them and the rest of their team is unbelievable. Mike, what's amazed you the most about 1 Million Homes these last 3 years?
Well, I think first is what is possible. I just love the theme of your show, Anything Is Possible, that in some of the most desperate situations, in some of the hardest cases, where a child could have been separated from his family for years, could have been hardened and traumatized through life on the streets, or could have had so much pronounced brokenness in the family that he came from, that healing, restoration, forgiveness, reconciliation are within reach for these kids, for any of them, and for all of them. I think we're seeing that it is possible for the one, for the many, and ultimately for the millions.
Why is it so important for a child to have family?
Yeah, that is the question. And tragically, we lost sight of that, where the idea of institutional care was ever considered that it could be a replacement for family. Nothing replaces family. Family is the source of life, but it's also the source of identity and the source of meaning and destiny. So when we think about what we would want for our own children or what we benefited from in our own lives, surely we want that for children out there. And we should never settle for temporary families becoming permanent, like in foster care, where kids are just bouncing around and then aging out without ever having that permanent place of belonging and love. Or the children overseas that are living on the streets or living in orphanages. We should hold what we would want for our own children for them as well. And any intervention that we do on their behalf shouldn't fall below that fundamental standard and right.
There's a man tonight driving, listening to us, who's abandoned his kids. What do you say to that father?
Well, I think I would want to know the story and the circumstances. I'd want to begin with some questions to understand what happened and where is the child today. And I would ask him, if you had the chance, would you want your son back? Would you want to, as a father, or at least as a meaningful part of his life, being raised as a son in another family? And I would want to do everything I could to give him that hope that there can be forgiveness, there can be reconciliation, and there can be healing, and there can be restoration. And I would ask him, do you want these things? And if he said no, then we would know, okay, we need to just look for all of that elsewhere. But to him, I would say, we want to start with you. You are this son's father, and we want to give you every chance for this, because redemption is not just on behalf of the child. The redemption of God, the redemption of Christ goes in all directions, not just towards the child, but towards the entire family. And those kind of reconciliations and redemption stories are what we're seeing in the thousands where these orphan care ministries are actually finding families of origin. Entire families are being restored through welcoming back these children and committing to their lives. So I would hold out that hope for this birth father.
We're talking to Mike Gallagher. He and his wife, Mandy, are a shining example of from success to significance. Speaking of fathers, tell us about our heavenly father, Mike.
Well, where to begin? We think often in everything we do that it goes back to the father heart of God and the redemptive work of Christ. And so when we think of our father and we think of what he did in sending Christ to suffer and die on our behalf and to be resurrected and give us the forgiveness and the life that we couldn't give or earn for ourselves, we marvel at redemption. And when I think of our father as a father, not as God, but as a father, and I think of my own love for my own children, it really changes everything in how we approach him, how we depend on him, and how we live with him. So it all has to do with that understanding of God as a loving father, willing to suffer with us, willing to enter into that suffering, and willing to carry us through every step of the way. And that's what I want to do with my own children too. So I'm thankful that that's what he does with me.
God's ways are not our ways, and God's timing is not our timing. You live through that every hour of the day. Talk about God's ways are not our ways, and God's timing is not our timing.
Yeah, I just think about all the most significant things in my life that directed my life, shaped my life, have made my life, and none of them would have been part of my own plans and timing. So we thank God for his sovereignty, and we thank him for using, you called us saints earlier. We are anything but saints. We are we're sinners saved by grace, and we want to just live in that grace and try to multiply what we have abundantly received. And we're anything but perfect in that, but His grace is sufficient. So,
Mandy often quotes John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear. And you used the word fear a couple segments ago. Mike, there's a lot of people in America and throughout the world today full of fear. Talk to us about fear.
Yeah, it's paralyzing, right? It is crippling, paralyzing, undermining. There's really so much that is so much good that is prevented by those crippling effects of fear. And when we invite God, the living God, the present God, the all-powerful God, the sovereign God, into that place of fear where we're really just fearing over our own limitations, over our own circumstances, our own lack of power, or our own lack of goodness. And when we invite His power and His goodness and His sovereignty into those circumstances, they are resolved. So He doesn't promise to make all of our circumstances better, but He promises to face them and get through them with Him right there with us. And so, and every single time we've done that, there's been plenty of times we haven't invited Him into it, but every time we have, He has been faithful. And the rewards of getting through the journey with Him, the rewards of any sacrifice that we may have made on His behalf and by His power are well worth it. The reward is incalculable.
Mike Gallagher, thanks much for sharing your amazing journey, you and Mandy. If the Google ever wanted to put a picture next to Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He'll make your path straight. They could have picked a picture of you and Mandy and that would be perfect. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible as well.
Believe in yourself.